Okay, we have been exploring the topic of Afen Hayu Ba'ot Sohaneh, and we saw some basic principles. We saw that there's a lot that is disputed. So just to quickly recap some of the highlights and maybe expand a little bit before delving specifically into the Pesach relationships. So we saw that there is a klal of Afen Hayu Ba'ot Sohaneh that Rav Shua ben Levi cites a few times in the Gemara in various places. And there's a lot about it that's unclear. We know that it applies to our Prasuma Nisa set, that it comes up for the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah and Mikra Megillah and Dali Kosos, the same set that we've referred to in the past, for example, in terms of the obligation to go above and beyond because of the Prasuma Nisa connection. So here we see that women are obligated also in all of these mitzvos because the nes was relevant to them as well. Now, what does that mean, relevant? So here we saw different takes in different Balei HaTosfos and in Rashi in different places, whether it is because they were also HaSakana, that they were also subject to the danger, and therefore the salvation is relevant to them as well, or whether it's because the women played a specific heroic role in the mitzvah, in the nes, coming off of Purim. So we see that most clearly with the Megillah being named after Esther. But with all of these occasions, there's room to say that Nashim were crucial to the nes happening. So that itself is subject to a lot of analysis on why Rashi in various places seems to take different sides of that issue. And there's a lot that is open to discussion. Does this apply only to mitzvos min ha-Torah, min ha-Midrabanan, or also to mitzvos min ha-Torah? And that is connected to the question of whether the exemption of mitzvos aseh she'hazman grama, which this seems to offset, is that applicable to mitzvot Rabbanan as well? If you saw that Rashi and Brachos works off the premise that this does not exempt women from mitzvot Rabbanan, Tosfos seems to disagree both over there and implicitly here on our daf as well. And if it applies to mitzvot Daraisa, it's also not clear whether it applies fully or applies only on a level of Midrabanan, and that also was to Deus in Tosis and Maseches Megillah. So there are many issues that need to be clarified. What exactly is the impact of saying that women are chayavos because of Afen Hayu Ba'ot Sohaneh? Does it work on a level of Midrabanan or more? And even within the Dinim Midrabanan, it's also not clear if it is all-encompassing or if it is tied to a certain aspect, a certain detail. So we talked about this on Wednesday. It was before Purim. We still have a little bit of the Chalos Purim today. So just to recap and expand that point a little bit. So we noted that when it comes to Megillah, so the Gemara says that women are chayavos in Megillah and leaves you with the impression that it's a complete obligation that's no different from the obligation of men. However, the Rishonim did debate this. So many Rishonim took the view that indeed it was the same, and therefore women could be motzi men. That was the view of Rashi, the view of the Rambam, the view of others. But Tosis and other Rishonim quotes the Mahag that asserts and quoted in different ways in different places, but that essentially it's a different kind of obligation, that it's the obligation that is focused on Shmiah and not on Kriya. And therefore, women should not be able to be mostly men because the obligation is not the same. And with some taking the view that women can't be mostly women either. So what exactly is that based on? So we discussed a number of approaches. We mentioned how the Aruch HaShulchan connects it to the general Kavod HaTzibur idea that we find by Kriyas HaTorah, and that others approach it differently. The Turi Evans, for example, understands it as simply a different level, and that goes into the whole question of how Afhain works, that if we assume that Megillah is Daraisa on some level, something like a Daraisa, we discussed various reasons why that would be. We assume it's essentially like a Divrei Kabbalah, treated like a Divrei Torah, So then, afhein, if it only works on the level of the Rabbanan, so then women would be obligated on a different level. And if that's what the issue is, so then it's not really about Shmiya or Kriya. It's essentially a way of saying it is a different level obligation. That's what it seems like. Jack, you have a question? That's a great question. I'm not going to get into it too much right now because it's a good question for a side topic. For now, because it's very, very subject to a lot of argumentation, that essentially the Gemara invokes it in a few contexts, but one of them being that women should not lain from the Torah or get aliyahs. And what that means, practically speaking, is a topic of a lot of argumentation. So nowadays, that's what we assume. But there's a lot of back and forth about is kavod hatzibur something subjective? Is it something that the people have the ability to be mochel? How exactly does that factor in? So I'm not going to enter into that whole debate right now because it gets us into all kinds of different directions. And it's not what most of the Achronim say is the issue here, but the Aruch HaShulchan that we saw did invoke it in this context. So others have different approaches. Here the Turi Evan saying that it's about the Daraisa / the Kabbalah difference with Dinim Drabanan, in which case it would seem like Kriya and Shmiya is not really the issue, it's just a different level. It's a qualitative difference. While other Achronim explains that the issue is that Kriya Samagillah is broken up into different parts. It is essentially a combination of a mitzvah of Kriya and Pirsumei Nisa. And that the idea of Hafein Hoyo Boso Hanes, that comes to extend Pirsumei Nisa, but it doesn't change the mitzvah of Kriya. And that women are Peturos from. So why are women Peturos from the mitzvah of Megillah? If the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is separate from the Pirsumei Nisa aspect, so why are women Peturos? So here, there are many different approaches in different svarim. But this basic formula that Megillah is X plus Pirsumei Nisa, that's a very common approach. But what is X? There are a number of different categories. So a number of different candidates. So what are possible candidates for X? So some say that we discussed the point of Hallel. The Gemara says that Megillah is a fulfillment of Hallel that should have been an obligation on Purim. So if we assume that women are Peturos from Hallel, which also would be on the premise that it's a mitzvah seisha as man grama, so then maybe that's why women are Pater from Kriyas Megillah. Although, you have to really explore that because it seems a little circular. That basically, it's based on the Gemara saying that it's a kiyum in Hallel. And once the Gemara says that women are chayavos, so one would imagine that that would be a source that even if it's halal, then women are chayavos in that also. And halal, as we'll see, is itself a discussion. So based on the premise that it's a mitzvah seisha as man grama, that might be for general halal, but for the halal that is manifested through Kriyas and Megillah, it seems that that's a little bit challenging to say, but that's the approach some Achronim have. Others say that it's actually because of Mochama, that if we assume that it's all a aspect of remembering Amalek and of fighting Amalek, and that fighting Amalek is a detail of Mochama, so that aspect women are Peturos from. And that gets into the whole question of whether women are Chayavos and Zachar or not. So that itself, Sefer Achinuch, we talked about that a little bit a week and a half ago before Parsha Zachar. So again, you still don't have a source that really says that, so that also becomes a difficult explanation. Jack?
Isn't it like a Hira Milchama? Like what? Why would they be under
So the theory is expressed by the Marcheshes in the context of discussing the notion of Zachar and the question whether women are chayavos and Zachar. So the assumption is that Zechiras Amalek is for the purpose of Mochamas Amalek. that we're supposed to remember a Molech so that we will be focused on fighting it. So if one is pater from Mohammed Amalek, maybe one is pater from Sechiras Amalek as well. But there was a lot of debate about that, because even the assumption of being pater from Mohammed Amalek needs more of a source, because the Mishnah says in Sota that Mohammed's mitzvah, so everyone goes out to fight a Mohammed's mitzvah, afilu kala mechupasa. So some discussion exactly what exactly that means. But it's still certainly subject to debate whether a Mohammed's mitzvah, or Mechiras HaMalek, would be, are women indeed paturis from that. Some understand, the Stipler has discussion, or Salvechik also had discussion along these lines that was quoted in the Masorah Journal, that it has an aspect of Talmud Torah. Women are paturis, maker hadin from Talmud Torah. So it's one of the theories. There are a number of theories out there about this idea of it being essentially X plus Pursumin Yisa, and therefore women are Pturos from X, but they're Chayavos because of Afen Chayiva Ozu and H, that only addresses the Pursumin Yisa component, so that's why they're only Chayavos in Shmia. So on top of that, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva, which is very complex. I just want to share with you part of it, that he addresses the question that connects to all of these theories. That, okay, so let's say there's Pursumin Yisa plus X. But why should it be that Pursumin Yisa should be characterized as an obligation of Shmiya as opposed to Kriya? That everything else, that's the mitzvah of Kriya. But Pursumin Yisa is about Shmiya and not Kriya. He has a very sharp suggestion that he suggests as follows, and there's more alumnus if you want to see it inside, but we'll just focus on his conclusion, that the issue is, if we're going to say that Pursumei Nisa is a factor here, so then we have to focus on what people are aware of. That's what the Pursum reflects. So if you were to ask the average person, did they read the Megillah on Purim? What would they tell you? If you were to ask the average person in Shul, so Menachem, you shaking your head? All right, why is that? Exactly, right? The average person would probably say that, no, they didn't read the Megillah. They had somebody come in as a professional, read the Megillah, this nice young man, he read the Megillah for all of us, and we all listened. And so 99% of the Klal Yisrael hears the Megillah on Purim rather than reads it. And if you'd ask them, they would tell you they heard the Megillah. Now, we here learning the Sugya, or if we've been learning that Sugya, so you'd know that actually, the mitzvah is to read the Megillah. And everyone's obligated to read the Megillah. But the mechanism of Shemaya Ka'ona makes it that listening counts as reading. So Alpi Halacha, everybody read the Megillah on Purim because of Shemaya Ka'ona. However, says the Avnei Nezer, based on a Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, says there's a klal that something that's only known to Talmidei Chachamim is not considered to be famous, is not considered to be publicized. So if we're looking specifically for Pirsum, for advertising the miracle, we can't rely on the lumdus of Shemaya Ka'ona that people will know, oh, we actually read the Megillah. The average person thinks he heard the Megillah. So the Pirsum is only from the hearing. Very creative point. So he suggests that to illustrate that whole distinction between Kriya and Shmiya. But without the very fancy lumdish approach, you could say also that it's really because in the context of Megillah, the pirsum is that a larger audience should hear it. So we're saying that the mitzvah is to be mafarsim the Megillah to the largest possible crowd. To a crowd that includes the women also, who are also a part of the nation. See, if so, separating it out from the Lamdisha language, then it would mean that the mitzvah is really not about Kriya at all. And that one could possibly then question whether women should even be reading for women. Because the aspect of saying there are chayavos in Shmias HaMegillah, based on the Bahag's formulation, because of Persumenisa, means that they're obligated to hear it, not that they're obligated in the reading that counts as Shmias. And indeed, there is a view, Magen Avraham quotes, that women shouldn't even read for women, which would seem to reflect that kind of a approach. So this is a whole discussion, how exactly to understand how Persumenisa works and how Afen Hayab Oso Anisa Oso Hanes connects to it in order to expand the parameters of the mitzvah, and also goes to the question of whether that's what's happening. Is it that there was a mitzvah and women were putter from it and Chazal came to create a new inclusion because of Afhein? Or does it mean that women are never putter in the first place because of Afhein? And that also gets to this question of, are we dealing with mitzvah drabanan, where it's easier to say that Chazal made the mitzvah in the first place in such a way because it made sense to include everyone who is a part of the Nes? Or does it extend also to mitzvahs min haTorah, where maybe there would have been a p'tur of mitzvah sasesha as man grama? And then Chazal came and said, nonetheless, we'll create a new chiyuv because of Afhein, but then that chiyuv is going to be coming from a different place in the Iker mitzvah. Okay, so far so good? Everybody with me? Okay, so let's get into the question a little bit more then. So how does this attach to our sugya more specifically? So how does this attach to the mitzvos of the Seder night? So we know from our Gemara that women are chayavos in the Dalet Kosos. What about other mitzvos? So matzah, like we said, that we know, that's a din min haTorah. That's the Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara makes it clear that women are chayavos in matzah, and that's based on the hekesh between chametz and matzah. So we assume they're connected, which is a big yesod in our whole mesechta, that matzah and chametz have a inseparable relationship, adversaries, completely interlocked all the time. So whoever is prohibited to eat chametz on Pesach is also obligated to eat matzah. So that's a din min haTorah, women are obligated matzah. That much we know. And here the Gemara is telling us that Dalet Kosos also because of Afen Hayabosu. What about other dinim of Pesach night? What would you say? Are women obligated in other mitzvahs of the night? Ari? Okay, so you're saying that it would seem that if Afhein is talking about the Nes, the capital Nun, everything about the Nes, so why should we assume it's just addressing Dalet Kosos? It should be addressing everything. What's the difference between the Dalet Kosos and everything else we're doing that night? So that's an important question to try to consider on a couple of levels. Right, so is there a difference? Is there any reason to say that Dalet Kosos should have more of an obligation than other mitzvahs of the night? And How so? So that's something we'll have to keep in mind as we consider the Dalet Kosos theme. But also, if it is because of Afen Hayubosu Anes, so what about the Daraisa Darabanan issue? And so where do those factors come in? So what mitzvos are Daraisa, Seder Night, and which ones are Darabanan? And what about the Daraisas? So should we say, like some of the Rishonim, that Afen doesn't apply to Daraisas? Or if it applies to Daraisas, but maybe only on a level Midrabanan? And what Nafkaminas will that have? So that's going to be an important question. Jack? Tosfos and Megillah. Right, so the important point to reemphasize, right, that Tosfos in Megillah had 2 days about this, right? So this a lot floating around with the whole notion of Afen Hayubosu Anes, because you definitely see in many later Svarim that they work off the default that Afen only works by Drabanans. But it's not the absolute view of the Rishonim, as we see. And the position you're citing, that Tosfos the second day and Tosfos in Megillah, that it perhaps does apply to the Daraisas, and even on a level of Daraisa. Both Deis and Tosfos think it should apply to Daraisas. The question is just on what level. So that Tosfos is important to acknowledge as an opinion in the discussion, even though many work off a different premise. So that Tosfos you're citing raises the question of why do we need the Hekesh that we just mentioned that says that women are obligated in matzah because of the relationship to Chameh. Why don't we say, Afen Hayubosu Anes? That would tell us already that women are obligated in matzah. So Tosfos has two answers. The first answer, that it would only be an obligation of Midrabanan, and therefore we need to know that before that it was an obligation on the level of Manat Torah. And the second answer is that, no, you could have thought that women should be putter from the mitzvah of matzah because of the connection, the other hakesh, tesvav, that connects matzah to sukkah, and if women are pturis from sukkah, maybe she matzah from sukkah, mishapata from matzah also. So both of those deis and tosis, which seem to differ with each other, they're both different from the premise that it doesn't apply to deraisas. So it gives us three views. Either it doesn't apply to deraisas at all, the view that many Rishonim worked off of, or the first view of Tosfos Megillah, that it works for Daraisas on a level Midrabana. Or the second view, that it could work for Daraisas completely. But to acknowledge that those views, as we see, are controversial. So Ari's point is well taken, that it's hard to see why Afen Hayubosu Anes should be limited to Dalet Kosos, except to acknowledge the Daraisa Darabanan issue. That since the Seder does have a mixture of mitzvot deraisa and mitzvot derabanan, so how much does Afhain impact deraisas? Maybe completely, maybe not at all, or maybe somewhere in between, to create an obligation midrabanan. Okay, so far so good? Everybody with me? So, Tosfos in the Sefer Sukkah, which I asked you to look at today, has a important point, that Tosfos talks about Hallel over there. That's the context of the Gemara in Sukkah. And there, Tosfos says that women are pturos from the Hallel that's under discussion there, the Hallel on Sukkot, because that Hallel is Midin Yontif. And that is a mitzvah sasei shaz mangram. So what about Hallel at the Seder? What about Hallel Pesach night? So that, Tosfos says, well, that's different. Because the Gemara tells us that they're obligated. How does the Gemara tell us that they're obligated? Well, not explicitly, but what the Gemara says on our daf is that women are chayavos in dalakosos. So the assumption is that if women are obligated in the dalakosos, so presumably they are obligated in the mitzvos that are associated with the cups. If the cups were instituted to connect to various mitzvos of the Seder night, so it makes sense. Women are obligated in those kosos, they must be obligated in the accompanying mitzvos as well. So that would apply to what? Right, so what are the mitzvos that we're talking about? So Kiddush, we know, is its own story. And that Kiddush on Shabbos, at least, women are obligated also in Minhag Torah equally to men. Yantif, maybe there's room to discuss a little bit, but Kiddush, okay, as the first of Dalakosos, is its own category. Berachos HaMazon is also its own category. It's a suffix in the Gemara, in Berachos and Dafchaf, whether women are obligated in Berachos HaMazon in a Torah Midrabah. But they're obligated one way or another. It's a question whether it's Minhag Torah Midrabah. But it leaves us with two that still need to be figured out. So what's the other two that are left? Hallel and Haggadah. So Tosis in Sukkah mentions those two, but their focus is on Hallel, because trying to explain why Hallel is different from Sukkah and Pesach. So the Hallel of the Seder night, that is Al Hanes, and that is integrated with the Dalakosos. So if women are obligated in that, they're obligated in Hallel as well. Which is why, to fill it in, why it's a little bit difficult to say that women should be pater from Megillah on a fundamental level because of the aspect of Hallel, that here this Tosus is saying that women are chayavos in the Hallel of the Seder night because that's the Nes Hallel. So once the Gemara says that women are obligated in Megillah because of Afek Hayaboso Hanes, so yes, maybe it contains this component of Hallel, but it's harder to see why that should exempt women. It should be probably the same kind of Hallel here. So that's a little bit of a challenging explanation. But what we see here is that the Tosus assumes that women are obligated in Hallel, at least as a part of Dalakosos. Now, that also is reflected a little bit later on in our daf. You haven't necessarily seen this yet, unless you went ahead in the Gemara, that the Gemara on Tuf Ches Amud Beis tells us that you are not yotze the mitzvah of Dalakosos unless you do them al HaSeder. Or the language of the Gemara is you're not yotze if you do them b'vas achas. You do them all in one shot. And we'll get to that, because there's a lot to explore about that. But there's a difference between Rashi and the Rashbam, what that means to do it all in one shot. But the Rashbam says it means you're not Yotze unless you have the Dalakosos along the Seder that they are established to connect to. So if you have it disassociated, disconnected from their mitzvos, from the four mitzvos that they are connected with, you're not going to be Yotze. So it seems to highlight that point as well, that if you're obligated in Dalakosos, so then you're obligated in what comes with that. And you should be obligated in Hallel and obligated in Haggadah also. And that's what emerges from the Shulchan Aruch also, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins our Gemara to say women are obligated in Dalakosos and in all the mitzvot halayla. And the Mishnah Brewery makes it clear that that's true also about Haggadah. Right? That would seem to emerge from everything that we've seen so far, that if women are obligated in Dalakosos, so the logic would seem to tell us that they're obligated in the Haggadah as well. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with me? So that seems to make sense. And that's the position that many Achronim take, such as here you see the Mishnah Berurah and the Chayei Adam. And if you had a chance to see the Sefer Achinuch, Sefer Achinuch also works off the assumption that women are obligated in Sefer Yisias Mitzrayim. Mitzvah Chaf Aleph is where he talks about Sefer Yisias Mitzrayim. And in the very end, he says this applies, he always tells you at the end who the mitzvah applies to, so he says it applies to Anashim V'Nashim. So, Zecharim in the cables. So the Minchas Chinuch, if you had a chance to see the Minchas Chinuch is totally blown away by this. Right, what bothers the Minchas Chinuch about this? It's because presumably, even if you want to say women are obligated, they're obligated because of Afen Hayaboso and Ace, maybe. But that only should be effective on a level with the Rabbanah. Maybe it should only be effective to mitzvahs for themselves, the Rabbanah. But even for the Raisas, it should only be effective on a level with the Rabbanah. Which again, Jack, as you see, so most are not working off of that second day in Tosfos and Megillah, even though it is an opinion. But to say, like the Sefer Achinuch is saying, that the mitzvah in our Torah applies to women as well is hard to explain. It's not something that's explicit in the Gemara. And it's not something that can be addressed just by saying, Afein Hayaboso Anes. Maybe that should create an obligation with the Rabbanan. But how is that going to work to establish the parameters of the Din Min HaTorah? That would seem to be difficult. So Minchas Chinuch has a very hard time with this. Says maybe you could say that it's because of the Hekesh to Kiddush, to take the Hekesh a little bit further. That when it comes to Kiddush, so we find that women are obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos at least, Min HaTorah, on an equal level, because we say there's a relationship between Zachar and Shamar. Gemara says over there in Brachos also on Daf Chaf that Kol Sheyeshno B'Shmira Yeshno B'Zchira, whoever is obligated in Shmira Shabbos, understood as avoiding the Malachos of Shabbos, is obligated in Zechira Shabbos. So maybe there's a connection between Zechira Shabbos and Zechira Tzias Mitzrayim. We saw some time ago that the Rambam draws a strong connection between the two and says, just like we're obligated in Zechira Shabbos, we're obligated in Zechira Tzias Mitzrayim. So to say that is the source, maybe, but that's difficult because there's no statement of that in Shas. And so if the Talmud told us that, so then we'd have an easier time believing it, but we don't find that in the Gemara. It also provokes the question, which the Minchas Chinuch talks about also, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and its relationship to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now we know that Pesach night, we have a mitzvah to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And every day of the year, we have an obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the relationship between the two, that's also something that we need to keep our eyes out for, because that's an important topic here. So how do they connect to each other? Now, when it comes to this daily Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that's a discussion also Shagas Aryeh has and others have. Are women obligated in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's an interesting question because it draws upon the issue of why would you say women should be obligated or pater from the mitzvah of daily Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Maybe. So is it? What are the parameters? Ah, so what are the parameters of Kriya Shema? So the Gemara says that Kriya Shema is... Right, well, the Gemara says that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah seishas magram. And that's an interesting discussion because we are all too aware as yeshiva students who are tired in the morning that there is a sofsman kriyashma. So you want to tell me kriyashma is mitzvah seisha zman grama? I'll say, yeah, you bet. It's as much as zman grama as anything. And we got to wake up early to make sure we catch the zman. But the Kesef Mishnah actually considers the possibility and seems to assume that Zman Kriyashma is Drabbanan. And that Min HaTorah, you could say Kriyashma all day. So then the Magen Avraham raises the question, well, hold on a second. How could it be a mitzvah Seisha Zman Grama? The Gemara says that it is, but how could that be according to the Kesef Mishnah's theory here? So it applies all day. It applies all day and applies all night. So it's not Zman Grama. So maybe you'll say, well, it still is because it passes off the shifts. There's a daytime mitzvah and a nighttime mitzvah, and they don't apply in each other's zones. So maybe the daytime kriyashma is Zman Grama just during the daytime, and the nighttime is just during the night, so each one is Zman Grama. Or should you say, no, if it's running 24-7 and it never stops, then it's not Zman Grama. So that itself seems to be a discussion. And that, as the Shagasari notes, that's relevant to the question of Zechiras Tesias Mitzrayim, where it sounds like that's something that's really running 24-7, but may have different shifts. So if it's two different shifts, that means running constantly. So is that called Zman Grama or not? So it's a whole interesting question. So Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim might be separate from Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that seems to be, at least according to one understanding, a mitzvah seisha Zman Grama. So is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim going to be less Zman Grama than that? So that's one point the Mechet Chinuch raises. We have to figure out exactly how they relate to each other. Maybe it is different. Maybe there is a reason to distinguish between Zechira and Sipur in a way that Sipur comes out more obligatory. But the premise that Menachas Chinuch writes there is that if you're going to say we know that Sipur is Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechira is Yetzias Mitzrayim seem to be connected and Zechira is the mitzvah Seisha is Zman Grama, then back to the question, how could the Sefer HaChinuch assume that women are obligated in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Zach, did you have a question before? Okay. So he also notes that this is not a harmless issue because it would seem like it's, as he puts it, potentially a chumra da'asi l'day kula. That if one were to just say, okay, well, women are obligated. What's the big deal? They're obligated one way or another. So what happens if the woman wants to be motzi the man in the Haggadah, wants to be motzi her husband, let's say, in Shamei Ka'ona for the Haggadah? Right, which is a very practical question. Let's say you have a man who's not well, is not able to talk so easily, and his wife wants to read the whole Haggadah to him, to be motzi him. Now, the topic of Shemaya, Ka'ona, and Haggadah, God willing, is something we hope to explore in greater depth in the future. But assuming that there is such a structure of Shemaya, Ka'ona, and Haggadah, so maybe we should say that if women are obligated because of Afen Hayibosu Haneis, and that's only the Rabbanan, so then, okay, they're obligated Midrabbanan, which is how the Mechassino feels. He says, they're definitely obligated Midrabbanan, okay. But to be motzi their husbands, maybe that's a problem. If you're obligated min haTorah, so then how's that going to work? So he's troubled by the Sefer HaChinuch's position here. He assumes that it's hard to justify how it could be true on a level min haTorah, and that there are going to be practical implications of taking that position, and it's potentially a chumrah da'asu l'dekul. The Maram Shik was one of the great students of the Chassam Sofer. The Maamshik in his Sefer HaMitzvos, so he addresses this question. And he has, it's available, you can buy the Tshuvas Maamshik, comes together with a third volume, his comments on the Sefer HaMitzvos. So he explains, he says, he thinks that this is all built in to the issue of matzah. That when it comes to matzah, so here we've established that women are obligated in that mitzvah. And if that's the case, so it means they're also obligated in lechem oni. And what does lechem oni mean? Lechem she'onim olav dvar harbe, that it's the mitzvah of using the matzah as the expression for the Haggadah. And therefore, we should understand that women are obligated in the Haggadah through the drasha of matzah. I mean that in both senses of the word, the drasha of the Gemara in understanding matzah, but matzah as a drasha, through the idea of matzah as a tool for the drasha of expounding on Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. So the obligation of women in lechem oni comes to include that as well. Now that's also an interesting point to consider. We've talked about that a little bit as well. To what extent is lechem oni crucial to the definition of matzah? And to what extent is it possible to separate them from each other? And in our recent discussions about Haseba, we mentioned that possibility, that the idea that you might have to do matzah again if you don't have Haseba. And is it possible to say that it even disqualifies the mitzvah of matzah, maybe even on the mitzvah on a level of Minat Torah, that maybe that's because of this notion of lechem oni and matzah being integrated as far as its basic expression. Okay, so far so good. Now if you accept the Maram Shik's approach, so then presumably you don't need afhen. You don't have to deal with afhen hayu aboso anes for this particular din. To say that women are obligated in Haggadah based on the connection to matzah, so then it's not because of afhen, it's because of lechem oni. And that would help to allow it to be, like the Sefer Echinos implies, a din min haTorah, and not a din midrabanan. Is there any room to say that it is afhein and it still comes to apply in a level of min haTorah? So, could be like that day in Tosfos in Megillah. Or maybe you could also say, as some suggest, that there's different ways of saying this, but maybe it works especially well with the Minchas Ninach, that the logic of afhein can certainly play a role when we're trying to figure out what a din min haTorah is. So like especially with this Maram Shik specifically, if we're trying to understand that the role of lechem oni is part of the din min haTorah of matzah, so what exactly does it include? So to say it's there to express the nes, so it should include whoever is a part of that nes, maybe it's relevant. Well, still you don't need it because still it would come from the Hekesh to Chametz. But maybe there's some role for afhein in a different sense there where we don't necessarily have to say that it's only going to be applicable on a level of the Drabban. Perhaps. Okay, so far so good? Everybody with me? Okay, so it would seem that that's a possible approach to saying that women are obligated in Haggadah and HaTorah. But it would seem that at a minimum, so there should be an obligation of, there should be an obligation in the midrabanan of Haggadah. That women should be obligated in Haggadah midrabanan. Still going to have that issue in the Chesina phrases about who can be motzi who. But to say, like it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Chayyadim and others, that at least midrabanan women should be obligated. Because if the Dalet Kosos are obligatory upon women, and the Dalet Kosos are integrated into these mitzvos, so like Tosa suggests, and like it sounds like from the Rashbam, that whoever is obligated in Dalakosos is going to have to be obligated in the mitzvos that are connected to them. So at least on a level with the Rabbanim. So then Haggadah and Hallel should be an obligation simply as a part of the Dalakosos. So that itself seems to make sense, but there are those who disagree. And Birkei Yosef, Birkei Yosef is a sefer on the Shulchan Aruch that was written by the Chida, Chaim Yosef David Azuloy, and he quotes a view, it's based on David, that women are pturos from Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim, from Haggadah, even a level Midrabah. So, how do we understand that view? It's not necessarily the dominant view here, but why should it be? Why should there be any such distinction? So, Rabbi Willig Shlita discusses this in his Sefer on Mordechai. And he builds on the premise that we discussed in the context of Purim, that maybe Afen Hayu Ba'oso Hanes only extends Persume Nisa aspect of every din, but a din that has more components to it, Persume Nisa plus, maybe doesn't necessarily extend for those purposes. So in the context of Megillah, it was used to say that there is Kriya plus Persume Nisa, so it only extends to Persume Nisa and not the Kriya. That's what we started with today. But maybe it comes up in the context of the Seder night also. So, first of all, what about the Dalakosos? So, the Dalakosos, as we mentioned, there is what to question about what is the nature of the mitzvah of Dalakosos. And we mentioned that the Brisker Rav popularized a certain version of this question, and that we should keep this question in mind as we see some of the dinim of Dalakosos. So Dalakosos could be about a mitzvah of drinking because of the four lashonos of Gula or related concepts. So an expression of chayrus through drinking. Or it could be about doing the mitzvos of the night al hakos. Or it could be about both. Maybe there's both elements, that the mitzvah of the night should be al hakos, and you should drink derech eres. So what if, as Rabbi Willig discusses, what if you would say that the notion of afen hayu b'oso anes, as our Gemara applies it to Dalakosos, that's only about the drinking part. That we should drink derech eres in order to advertise the miracle. But the notion that's also connected to it, that mitzvot halayla should be al hakos, maybe that's not affected by afen hayu b'oso hanes. So therefore, maybe we would need a separate notion to be mechayev women in those mitzvot specifically. Now you have to figure out how that works with the Rashbam that says that drinking them bevas achas means they have to maintain their association. So maybe you'd have to say that only applies assuming that you have that aspect, that you're obligated in those mitzvahs. But if you are pater from those mitzvahs for whatever reason, so then Dalakosos wouldn't necessarily require you to do the malakos. And that it's just the drinking that is extended by Afen. Again, this is not the majority view at all, just trying to explain this minority position within the idea of how it affects Haggadah. Now, just to tie this into what we saw before this, so he suggests there also that this could be relevant to Haseva as well. So we saw that when it comes to Haseva, that there is a view of the Ravya that it's not really applicable nowadays. And the Rama invokes it dafka for women. That women don't do a seba nowadays because Gemara says they're pater, but they would be chayv, they're chashuvas, and they're all chashuvas, so they could have been obligated, but lemaisa, they rely on the ravya. So why do women rely on the ravya and not men? So he suggests that maybe that's the idea here as well, that maybe haseba has different components to it. Then maybe it has an aspect of persumenisa. And maybe it also has a din, however you want to interpret that, a technical din. We call it the zecholenisa, different than persumenisa. But for now, I'll just call it its own din of haseba. So the din of haseba, women are paturas from, based on that. As the Gemara says that women are paturas from the ikarat din. And it's the svara of Afhain that extends it. But that would, especially within the Dalikosos relationship. But that's only with, to the extent that it helps for Persumenisa. So if nowadays this is not something people relate to, as the Ravya's point, so maybe Persumenisa doesn't require Davka Haseba. We mentioned that maybe it requires Derech Eris in a more relatable way, so you shouldn't be standing up during the Dalikos, you shouldn't be visibly uncomfortable. But it requires a more relatable Derech Eris. So he suggests that maybe that's what's going on here, that maybe the idea of Haseba reflects this distinction that the Persumenisa applies it to women also, but only to the extent that it's the persumenisa component. But if the mitzvah has other aspects to it, so then maybe that wouldn't necessarily carry over there. It's a little bit more complicated because it's about a combination of different shittas and practice. But just to explain how it develops, how it plays out that way, maybe that's what's going on there. Okay, so far so good. So there's a little more to say about this, and to say about some of the other issues on Daf Kuf Chet. So we'll continue that, God willing, tomorrow. But just let's recap what we spoke about today. So we talked about more about this general question of how to understand Af Hain and the idea that it may be limited within a mitzvah, that even these dinim, the set of Prishimenisa mitzvos of Hanukkah candles and reading Megillah and Dalikosos, maybe even within those mitzvahs, it's limited as to how much women are obligated in them, because maybe they're persumenisa, but also something else. So we saw that in the context of Megillah especially, to explain the view of the Bahag, that women are obligated in a different way, or obligated in Shmiya and not in Kriya, and how many Achronim have a basic formula saying that Megillah is X plus persumenisa, and women are obligated in persumenisa, but not in X. What is X? It could be Mochama, it could be Hallel, it could be Talmud Torah. We mentioned difficulties with a lot of those explanations, but it could be. And we looked at the Avnei Nezer a little bit to explain the reason why persumenisa should dazka be Shmiya, because that's all that's Mufursam, because the average person doesn't realize that the Shmiya counts as Kriya, so therefore it's hard to call that a Pirsum from something that you have to be a Lamdan in order to know about. And then we pivoted to Pesach specifically, and we saw that, okay, we have to figure out how the various aspects of Afhain apply to Dalikosos, and the Tosus in Sukkah says that women should be obligated in Hallel on Pesach night also, even if they're Pater on Sukkot. But on Hallel and Pesach night, which is Al Hanes, and because of the Dalikosos, which are associated with it, presumably whatever they're obligated in Dalikosos extends to what's connected with it. It also sounds like that from the Rashbam and Ardaf, that if you're not Yotze B'Vasachas, it means you're not Yotze when it's disconnected from the mitzvos. So it sounds logical to say that at least in Lavan Midrabanan, women are obligated in Hallel Pesach night, and also in the obligation of Haggadah, and that's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and the Chayyadim and others. The problem is the Sefer Achinuch sounds like the Chayyad is Daraisa. The Mishnah Achinuch says Hakadapi. Afhain is not going to be effective for Daraisa, and we don't see that anywhere else. and it's going to have nafkaminas to be motzi men, and that's going to be problematic if the chiyuv is not the same, so it's the chumrat asu de kula, and he doesn't know where he gets this from. This is maybe because the hekesh is Shabbos, but it doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara, so that's very difficult. So, and it comes to Sipur, Sias Mitzrayim, its relationship to Zechira Sias Mitzrayim, we assume there were Pturah from Zechira Sias Mitzrayim, so the whole assumption is very difficult, and essentially he leaves it that way. But we mentioned the Maram Shek, which says that it's an extension of the understanding of Lachamoni, so therefore, from they're obligated in Matzah and Torah, they're obligated as Lachamoni, and therefore that includes Haggadah also, and that's one way to understand the Minchat Sefer Achinuch. But without that, it certainly should be Chayavus Midrabanan. But we saw that the Berki Yosef quotes a view that they're not obligated even Midrabanan, which is difficult to understand, and they really discuss this in the Sefer and suggest that it connects to the larger question of how to understand Dalakosos as a mitzvah of drinking or a mitzvah of brachos dalakos, and maybe both. So maybe Persumanis only extends the drinking part, but not the brachos dalakos, so therefore it doesn't necessarily include within it a chiyuv that those mitzvahs have to come with it. And that he applied that also to Haseba and to explain the view of the Rav Yah. There it's more a combination of different shittos in practice, but the idea that women should rely on the Rav Yah, that Haseba is more subjective and more culturally defined. Well, men don't necessarily rely on that, at least the Hasila, because maybe there's different components to Haseba and women are only obligated in the Persumanisa component that should be relatable and something people can appreciate. Okay, sound good? Everybody with me? All right, so I look forward to touching base with you at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we will take this further. So as far as Aruch HaShulchan, tomorrow we'll start, God willing, with the beginning of Hilchos Nisan, Hilchos Pesach. And again, today, Daf Yomi is starting every Pesachim, something to remember, and we look forward to lots of synergy and lots of reinforcement of different concepts as we also, in addition to everything, it's now Shloshim Yom. So we are in the zone where we're obligated to learn Pesach, and it's Daf Yomi, and it's our parak. So we got a lot of different directions that will hopefully reinforce what we are involved in. Very exciting. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Should stay safe and healthy and dry, and look forward to see you soon.
Thank you.
Call to...